This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Let's go to the phones real quick. Steve has been incredibly patient. Steve and Ivy, thank you for the call, my friend. Go right ahead.
Hi, Coy. How are you?
I'm good. I'm no complaints. Getting okay. Over a cold, but other than that, doing real well.
I'm sorry to hear you're under the weather, but hopefully that'll turn around quickly.
Absolutely. I'm sure it will.
Without being offensive, I'm just wondering if your station is getting paid for a political ad for this last segment.
I'm sure I was expecting that phone call.
To me, it's almost blatant. I mean, you even started out with the first clip, which is truly supporting. It's against the amendment that you, on your program, have vocally come out against, and this is not typical for your program. Usually it's thought-provoking, and you introduce both sides. Here we're just listening to a montage of people dumping on a guy who's not in the room with you.
Yeah. I will tell you this. If George Allen had a big event here in Charlottesville on the downtown mall and had some celebrities come and speak for him, I would play just as much audio from that on this program, and it would be in our news reports frequently throughout the day as this story has been already. And I think it had more to do with the fact that this was just a very big event for Charlottesville. How many times does Stephen King come to Charlottesville's downtown mall and speak?
Yeah, but how many times should we as Virginia voters care what Stephen King thinks about what's happening in the state of Virginia? I enjoy his books. I think he's a freaky great writer. But frankly, I don't care about what his political views are from a Maine perspective. But we're here in Virginia.
That's a good point.
So. Steve. Okay, well, hang in there.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for the call.
Bye.
Bob Gibson, of course, was at the event last night, joins us in studio from the Charlottesville Daily Progress. And it was, what's your reaction to Steve's comments? Do you have any? Or?
Well, I think that's fair. I got out of there, got back to the Daily Progress at 9:30, so I couldn't call a lot of Allen people because it was kind of late. But it was more of a fun event and a book event than it was a hard-hitting event. You know, it wasn't a very... The political speeches were short and the book readings were long.
Right. And we didn't play any of the book reading, of course, in this excerpt.
No, but Stephen King and John Grisham were very funny. And they're two very funny guys.
Yeah. And of course, that is, that is a comment often made by folks. If there's a celebrity that, whether from Hollywood or Maine, that, says something that you disagree with politically, people make the point, well, what do I care what a celebrity thinks?
Well, celebrities are in the game because they help people raise money. And Stephen King and John Grisham, helped, Jim Webb raise a lot of money, a little over $125,000 for his campaign last night.
So which he certainly needs.
That's a lot of money. He does. He's way, way, way behind George Allen in money.
Yeah, absolutely. And any other reflections from last night? It was a big crowd. I mean, I've been told they were. I wasn't there,
They filled the Paramount Theater, which is 1,000-plus seats.
Wow.
It was a very appreciative crowd. They enjoyed the evening. There was a lot of laughter, a lot of joking around. It was a festive kind of thing. It wasn't, it wasn't a book burning or a barn burning. It was a celebration of three authors.
Right. And did Jim Webb do a reading as well, or
yeah,
did he
Jim,
just speak?
Jim read from his nonfiction book, Born Fighting. He's written six novels, but his most recent book, Born Fighting, is about a history of the Scotch-Irish settlement of the Appalachian region of our country and the founding of the kind of democracy that he's talking about trying to bring back into the Democratic Party.
Bob Gibson is our guest this half hour on Charlottesville Right Now. We'll welcome your comments and questions for Bob at 977-1070. Bob, you were in the in the Washington Post, but not as a contributing reporter, but you were quoted. You were in stories in the Washington Post. Can you fill us in on how that happened and what it was about?
It's very much what I wrote about in my column on Sunday, the column entitled Discovering Embracing a Heritage. I had known for a number of years about George Allen's Jewish family background. It was not a big secret among a lot of people. So the fact that I'd written about it 3 years ago in that column, the Political Notebook on Sunday, and then had the only time in 27 years of covering George Allen, his then Senate press secretary call up and say, George would like a correction. He'd like you to say that his mother was raised a Christian, because I'd reported about his Jewish heritage and you know, he wanted it on the record that his mother was raised a Christian.
And you'd report it accurately and factually, correct?
Yeah, I'd report it accurately and factually. In fact, my discussion with Senator Allen the previous week had been, and the whole reason this came up in the column in October of 2003, was because he was holding hearings as a subcommittee chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee on the rise of anti-Semitism in Europe. So we had talked about his family background. We talked about his grandfather, Felix Lombroso, and how he'd been held as a Nazi captive when Tunis was invaded by the Nazis in North Africa and Tunisia. And, you know, I thought, based on my conversation with George Allen at that time, that he was acknowledging his Jewish family roots. Well, it turns out that he wasn't exactly acknowledging them, and he wanted it on the record that his mother was raised a Christian. And then he repeated that same remark, you know, a week ago, Monday, last week at the Fairfax County debate. A month after he says his mother told him that she was raised Jewish, he repeated the remark, she was raised a Christian, even though she had told him she was raised in the Jewish faith. So, you know, I think George has had a little bit of a hard time answering some of these questions.
So what's going on? It's baffling. I mean, is the initial reaction that you, just anybody off the street like me has is, well, it's George Allen, doesn't want people to know that he has Jewish roots, and if so, why is that?
I look at it differently. I think there are a lot of families where heritage isn't as well known or discussed as perhaps it might be. I don't know how long George has known about his Jewish roots. I don't know the level of curiosity he's had about his family history. The Lombroso name in Tunis, in Tunisia, is like the Rothschild family in France. It's a well-known Jewish family. So, you know, it may have been something that he had caused to question earlier. It may have been something that he didn't want to discuss with his mother because of her painful experience with her
dad. Yeah, certainly.
A lot of kids in Europe and North Africa back then who had been born into Jewish families were suddenly Christian just to stay alive. I mean, you know, these roots are not always talked about as much as one might presume.
Bob Gibson is our guest. Bob, the larger issue, of course, and Betty will be right with you, the larger issue, of course, is if we could just pull back for a minute, is, well, here we are sitting here talking about it. And is it, you know, he's not having hearings right now on anti-Semitism in Europe. He was asked that question up in the debate at the Chamber of Commerce. Well, here we are talking about George Allen's Jewish roots instead of his position on stem cell research or instead of the war in Iraq.
We've talked extensively about his position on stem cell research. We've talked extensively about the differences between Jim Webb, the Democratic challenger, and George Allen, the incumbent senator, on the war in Iraq. This is something that I think comes up because George Allen is also a candidate for president while he is running for re-election to the U.S. Senate.
Yeah, good
and when
point.
You're a candidate for president, the national media starts to take notice. And he was actually at the top of some polls among Washington insiders as most likely Republican to get the Republican nomination in 08. Now, he's been knocked off that pedestal, but he was up there for some time. 6 months ago, we were all talking about how his prospects for 08 looked pretty bright.
Right.
And it's clear that he has maintained this double track. You know, he was given the opportunity, as we discussed last week, to say, are you running for a 6-year term? Are you saying you don't want to run for the White House? And he wouldn't take that opportunity to say that.
Betty's on the phone. Betty in Charlottesville, thank you so much for the call. I always look forward to hearing from you. Go right ahead.
Sure. Thanks. Bob, I have a question. You just said that you knew several years ago about George Allen's Jewish roots.
Yes.
That you knew that.
Right, from Jewish friends of mine, and they had learned it from people in Los Angeles where George and his family had lived a number of years.
So I guess I have two questions. If you knew that, I'm curious about why you felt you had to retract.
I didn't feel I had to retract. The paper retracted because the senator said that his mother was raised a Christian, and we had no evidence to the contrary. So we reported what the senator wanted as a correction. It turns out we were right 3 years ago, but...
Okay. And then I guess my other question is, since you do seem to know George Allen quite well, you know, from so many years of contact, there's now a story running on Salon.com and various other newspapers have picked it up about Senator Allen using the N-word, and very disturbing story about a hunting incident. And this is all reported by a doctor in North Carolina.
I've read it, yes.
And I wonder if you have any have had, if you know anything about this, has, to your knowledge, Senator Allen, used the N-word? Because I find that more disturbing, certainly, than Jewish heritage.
Betty, thanks so much for the question, and we'll let Bob answer that.
George and I overlapped as fellow students together. And in this article, one named former player and two unnamed former players talk about George's use of an objectionable term for black Americans. And that doesn't come as a total surprise, but it was, you know, he was an 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old college kid from Southern California.
He transferred here from L.A., right?
From UCLA, where he was a backup, a freshman quarterback his first year, and then he played his second, third, and fourth years as quarterback. Started, I guess, 7 games in one season. In fact, I think George still holds the record for the most interceptions thrown in one game. He threw 5 against the University of Maryland.
They intercepted him?
They intercepted him five times.
Oh,
so that's a game that he and a lot of the rest of us would like to forget.
That's not a record you want to hold.
But, you know, is this shocking? No. Have people put a name on it before where, you know, somebody who is willing to, someone who's reputable in his community, this, in this case a doctor in North Carolina and former teammate, is willing to put his name next to these incidents? I've never talked to anybody who's said this and was willing to put a name on those remarks. I'll just say that. I mean, I have no independent corroboration from someone who's willing to put his name next to a remark saying that George has ever used that word.
Yeah.
There's an unfortunate additional allegation in this article that talks about an incident involving a deer's head.
Hunting in Louisa County with some of these pals.
With some of his football friends. And, you know, that's quite ugly, a deer head being stuffed in somebody's mailbox.
Yeah, and specifically in a mailbox.
And of course, we know nothing about that.
Yeah, yeah. Betty, did you have a follow-up? Betty's already gone. So it's clearly, what's your feeling about this? Because you've covered so many campaigns, and you've covered so many Allen campaigns.
I think if Democrats and the press don't start reporting other things, people are going to start feeling sorry for George Allen. I mean, you can only take so many drips. Before you have
it looks like a pile-on, and
you have a rather outstanding feeling that, you know, let's get on to something that is a little more germane to what we're considering on the ballot this November 7th.
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, that election, November 7th, George Allen, the Republican incumbent versus Jim Webb, the Democratic contender. And in the money race, of course, Allen won a long time ago.
Yeah, and, of course,
not even close.
The Democrats say they're raising money to counter what they expect to be a very negative TV barrage against Jim Webb by George Allen. And George Allen has hired the people who are professionally known for launching that kind of TV negative ad blitz. So I expect this race to get quite ugly before it's over.
Where do you think they're going to go? Where do you think the negative attacks from...
Oh, I think any...
Clearly, we know where the Webb are going to attack Allen, but where would Allen attack Webb?
This is going to be a character race. I mean, it's going to be a race that each side tries to portray the other's character as less than senatorial.
Huh. And so we can expect the TV commercials. Have they already started these attacks? Or would we even see them in this market?
They aren't bad yet. They're both launching some positive campaign spots to start off with, and the negative stuff typically comes a little bit later.
Okay, so a little bit later meaning like mid-October, starting in mid to late October?
Before then, I would think.
Okay, so it really will shift into high gear when we get into October next week.
I think you're going to want to keep the kids away from the TV for a while.
You heard it here, folks. Make a note of that. Bob Gibson of the Charlottesville Daily Progress. It's always a pleasure on Mondays. Look forward to chatting with you. And anything you're working on this week that folks can keep an eye out for?
Well, of course, the General Assembly is back in session. They are not considered likely to pass anything huge on transportation, but some little measures dealing with transportation are before the House Finance Committee tomorrow and then before the House Courts of Justice Committee. There's some strange little bills, including one to use parimutuel betting income to pay for transportation in Virginia. That's one thing I learned from Lieutenant Governor Bill Bowling last week. that there's a bill to put in a gambling bill to pay for roads. I don't think that's going anywhere.
And to privatize some of VDOT, which has been tried before. We'll see if it's successful this go-around.
We'll see.
Bob Gibson of the Charlottesville Daily Progress. This interview will be archived in its entirety at SevillePodcast.com. Quick break for CBS News, local news and weather. We're back with Gary Nordlinger, one of the top political consultants in the world, right here on News Radio 1070, WINA.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot at wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.